Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour, and we're going to, as soon as we leave the airwaves tonight, we're going to get our podcast set for tomorrow, episode 4 in the free Phil Hendry podcast. So be sure to, when you visit our homepage, look for the podcast link there on the left-hand side. If you'd like to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, just go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and hit VIP backstage, and you'll be able to watch our live streaming video of the show. You'll be able to listen to thousands of hours of archived material. It just don't ever quit. And we have also archived video and so many other miscellaneous and sundry clips, including lots of character clips there for you at philhendryshow.com. And it's thousands of hours worth of listening. So join us there. All right. Margaret Gray and Frank Gray joining us as they come back from having dinner this evening. You were going to give us a song, Margaret, if I'm not mistaken. You're going to sing a song and sort of make it relate to the news tonight? Was that it?
Well, Phil, my goodness, I sort of expected a much better introduction than that.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't quite sure
why I was on the show.
Well, I know why you're on the show, all right?
You just, right there is an example of what I've been talking about. I really want, and I hate to bring this up, but I really want to be treated with a little bit more class. And I think that when you say, I heard your voice just then, you sounded strained, you sounded nervous, it sounded as if you were reaching, looking for a raison d'etre, if you know the French. Do you know the French?
No, I don't know the, what do you mean, the French?
Do you know French?
He's talking about French language.
Do I know French, the language? No.
So you don't know raison d'être. You don't know that?
No, I don't.
Well, it means, okay.
What does it mean?
It means, it's a raisin, you know, it's talking about a raisin. I don't know, Phil, but it's essentially saying this. It's the raisin that is the example in nature. And I think, without getting into a big, long thing...
Yeah, let's not.
Well, Phil, I can explain it, but without getting a big, long thing, I heard Vernon talking about Mama, or however he put it, and it reminded me of the Al Jolson classic Mammy. I also have a song about the Miami situation, which I also know that Vernon was talking about. And so I'd like to do that, too, if I could.
All right. There is Margaret Gray. And the first song is?
The first song is Miami. No, it's not Miami. It's, what is it?
It's Miami. It's Miami by Al Jolson.
No, it's not Miami. Miami is Miami. It's the song...
Mammy! Mammy.
Mammy, that's right. Mammy, Mammy, the sun shines east, the sun shines the shit, shoot.
He's got to do it again, Phil.
Yeah, no kidding.
What was that crack supposed to mean?
Let's not get sidetracked. I heard you mess up.
One, two, three, and Miami, Miami. Pick three.
He's going to do it.
I understand. It's Mammy.
You said Miami.
No, I said it's Mammy's the song.
Mammy, Frank, not Miami.
Well, what did she say?
He said, that's what was wrong. I need a higher key. Okay, here we go, Phil. I'm ready to go. You want to count it down for me?
Fine. One, two, three, four.
Drop the phone, Phil. I'm sorry. Count it down again.
No, I'm not. You count it down.
All right. One, two, three. What is that, a red light?
Yeah.
Hold on, Phil. We're coming to a red light.
So?
So it blows my timing. Do you mind? In the meantime, here is a song that I want to dedicate to that horrible, horrible occurrence in Miami. The first time ever I saw your face, it's not looking good now, but...
Okay, if you're going to do shtick, we can move on.
I'm not doing shtick. I got tongue-tied. Who does he think he's...
Hey, look, Henry. He's my wife. Do you understand?
Get that nut off the phone with the he and the she and the mixed up.
Give me the phone. What's your problem?
I don't need you doing shtick with the first time ever I saw your face, okay?
All right, here it is. The first time ever I ate... I'm sorry, Phil. It's a natural thing to say.
Dude, one more time, I'm hanging up.
The first time ever... See, I'm nervous now, because I know you're going to hang up.
All right, Margaret. You know, pull yourself together. Do you want to do Mammy? Do you want to do the first time ever I saw your face? What do you want to do?
I'd like to do both of them, but I'm nervous now.
Well, I'm sorry I've made you nervous, but I will not have you on here singing shtick lyrics to the first time ever I saw your face.
The first time ever I saw your face. The ambulance...
Okay.
Hung up?
Yeah. Yeah, we hung up. See, I'm not going to play that, man, okay?
You're looking at me like I set her up for it.
Well, but I'm not saying you set her up for it. But I am saying, as a producer, you could do a much better job of letting these people know that they're not coming on here to do shtick-a-rooney, that I want to get it clean, I want it sweet, I want it pure, I want it beautiful. Lay it down, get out of my life, I don't ever want to see you again until we call you for a return appearance.
Yeah, that's a lot of things to do.
Well, okay, then maybe the two of you guys can collaborate and say, wow, why don't we do what Phil would like us to do instead of Margaret coming on and singing the first time ever I saw your face, gee, it didn't look too good.
Well, I mean, it seemed like a logical thing.
I don't care what you think is logical. Mammy. All right, folks, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. It is our news and information hour. And let's get away from the gruesomeness of the thing. How did I miss the eclipse, man? Because there was an eclipse. It was a moonlight shadow eclipsing the Earth from and photographs taken from a satellite that were quite breathtaking. I suggest you visit our friends over there at Mail Online. Some of these photos, I've never been in an eclipse, okay?
What is that?
An eclipse can be one of two things. An eclipse, it can be one of many things. I think you can be in a solar eclipse. And a solar eclipse, I believe, is when the sun passes, or excuse me, when the moon passes in front of the sun. So that the sun, the solar, if you pardon me, I'm sounding like Margaret.
Yeah, I'm doing solar. Yeah, that scared me, man.
All right, sorry, but if the sun... is blocked by the moon, that's a solar eclipse. The moon has passed in front of the sun. It's a rare occurrence, and of course we all remember as kids, we were told, and it's true, I believe the latest, don't ever look at that because the ultraviolet rays can do grave damage to your eyesight.
I looked up at the sun one time and nothing happened to me.
Yeah, me too.
I ain't talking about looking up at the sun. Even if you look at the sun, you're an idiot, okay? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking at the sun during a solar eclipse. That's when the moon moves in front of the sun. Now.
What's a lunar eclipse?
A lunar eclipse is when the moon is blocked by the sun. Now, how the hell does that happen? Oh, I know how. Yeah. The Earth passes between the sun and the moon so that the moon at night is just like a ring.
What? Man, that don't make no sense.
All right, I'm sure I didn't explain it well. A lunar eclipse is you're at night. First of all, it's got to be at night. It can't be in the daytime, a lunar eclipse. And you're up there and you're looking at the moon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the moon's going around the Earth, but one other thing is happening. The Earth is also turning on its axis and stuff like that. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't think you did, man.
Get Ron Turner. Would you get Dr. Turner?
Yeah, what's his number?
I don't know what his number is, man. We're on, what's his number? Let me look it up here, man. I probably got it in my freaking Rolodex here.
Get your iPhone.
I don't have it on my iPhone. Find his number and get him on here so I can find out what a stinking lunar eclipse is. And I don't sound like even more of an idiot than I do. All right, so that's groovy. And we'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, with Dr. Ron Turner on the lunar eclipse thing. We've got other news.
Yeah, what happened to him?
What do you mean, what happened to him? That's Anthony from Opie and Anthony.
Oh.
What happened to him?
I thought it was Opie.
No. Aren't they funny? We'll be right back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we are joined here just in this next segment by Dr. Ron Tarner. Dr. Tarner is at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, how are you?
Good, Bill. Thank you for having me on the program this evening, and we're excited to talk to you about one of my very favorite topics, which is the lunar eclipse.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for the late. Are you in the middle of construction or something?
No. What you're hearing, Bill, is actually we are moving. We are moving one of our telescopes, which is we call this Wet Betsy. It's the bigger of the two that we have. Take a cross view of the sky every day. We take a series of photographs. We're actually moving one of them for repair. And we take that, we lower it down to a repair area, the lower portion of our observatory here. And what you're hearing there, Phil, is simply the clicking of the gears that on a sort of a conveyor lower our telescope.
Oh, okay. It sounded rather loud. And it's the middle of the night there, huh?
Well, exactly. And you know, our work never stops. We are here, you know, I'm here Monday through Friday, but tonight I'm working on a third shift because we've had some, we've had a couple of things happen. One of them was that JPL was having some radio problems. They were having interference. And this was nothing serious, but they were not able to collate some data, so we took over from JPL. That was number one. And the number two, we're doing a couple of projects for the Cape. And these are just, you know, reviewing the last shuttle information that some of the information coming back from the space station.
So you guys are not only just looking at the night sky there, you're doing all kinds of stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. We are. I mean, what I just told you, I made up. We're not really doing any of that, but I've got a sound. Now, just hear me out, Phil.
You made up.
Yeah, but please hear me out. I've got this sound as if we're doing something so that it doesn't, so we don't lose our government funding. But I have to tell you, I made it up because I can't, that's about as well as I can bullcrap. Excuse me for saying that.
Why would you, okay.
Why would I? Because I knew you were going to ask me what's going on, and I've got to make it sound good.
So you made all of that up?
I made all of it up, yeah.
So you're not doing anything for JPL?
No, not for the Cape, not nothing. I made it up.
So why would you tell me that you made it up if you're going to lose your funding?
Because I blew it. I know I was stammering, and I know that I started to sound very suspect. I was going,
Well, it sounded good to me. You know,
well, it may sound good to you, Phil, but with the greatest of respect, you're not the test. You're not the you know, you're not the standard. The standard is if there's anybody from the federal government, NASA, if any of them are listening, okay? Because I'll tell you something right now, they will lay me out and stretch me out the way they did William Wallace, and you know, go to work on me with that, you know, the Torquemada.
Okay, let's just forget it. Let's talk. Can you talk? I hate to ask this. Do you know anything about lunar eclipses?
Yes, that's insulting, Bill.
Well, come on, Doc. If I ask you what you're doing and you make up a bunch of stuff and then you tell me you just made it up, okay?
No, because I made up that stuff on the fly doesn't mean I don't know about astronomy.
Well, why did you make all that up?
Because we're not doing anything here. We're looking at stars. We're making notations. I go get coffee, I go home, I sit there and wonder about my life, I look at my kid's homework. I go, yeah, that's great, fine, whatever. He leaves, goes to his friend's house. He could care less whether I live or die. I get in my car. I drive back to the observatory. I say, hi, how you doing, to the guy that opens the door for me at night. He's been here 35 years, that man. And he's bored to tears with looking at me, looking at the night sky, looking at that acidite uniform he has to put on, and I don't blame him.
Are you happy in your work?
Yes, I'm very happy at my work.
Then why do you sound so utterly cynical? You're talking about...
Because you asked me what I'm doing, and that's what I do.
Why not just say so?
Because if I said so, and it's going to happen anyway, the Federals are listening. Somebody from NASA, I'll give you an example. There's a guy by the name of Jim Betnick, who works for NASA. He's one of their auditors. He's a nosy SOB. I hate his guts. I know you're listening right now, Jim. And I know you're going to make a full report. And I don't care anymore.
Well, all right. It sounds like there's a lot going on there.
Everything's fine, Phil.
Well, you're talking about this guy's going to make a full report. You're lying to me about what's going on.
I'm not lying.
Well, you're making up stuff, and you're telling me about your life, which doesn't sound good at all.
Well, look, I'm a single father. I got my son, and other than my son, my life is a big fat zero. Okay? What are you laughing at?
What about your work?
Okay, my work. Let's talk about my work. You want to know about my work? Hey, Dr. Tarner.
Yes?
Look, see? Oh, a star. And that's it.
Can we talk about the lunar eclipse?
I'd be happy to, Phil. I don't want you to think I don't enjoy my work, but I get a little tired after a while of... I don't know. Well,
I don't know, man. I mean, this is a very depressing conversation, talking to a guy.
Well, you know what? I would really appreciate it that either ask me a question or get out of my life, okay?
All right. Well, I mean, if that's the way you feel, what is it, David?
Yeah.
Hi, David. Hey, David.
Yeah, why don't you just get to it, okay?
Exactly what I was saying.
But just get to it, because haranguing this poor man isn't going to get you anywhere.
I didn't think I was haranguing him. You know, I was asking him questions.
I listened to the whole thing, and it's boring. You understand?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
It's boring. He says, well, why do you do this? Just do it. You know, Phil, I just left one of my favorite restaurants in Pasadena, the market, the French market. I forget what it's called. What's the name of it?
Right.
Yeah, the French boy. I got Eleanor here. You met her, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, she, are you really? This is Bill Henry's on the radio right now. Say hi to him, baby. So we're coming away from there. We got dessert. We got custard dessert. And I got a couple of things I'm going to do with it, which I'm not going to let you in on, and I don't mean to be crude.
But you just were.
All right, so I just was. But the point that I'm making here is get on with it, because even Eleanor said, why don't you call up Mr. Henry and have him get on with the show. She's a young lady that I just met, but she's very astute.
Oh, really? Well, that's great. So thank you very much, David.
Whoa. Do you have the notes? She gave me some notes. She's been listening to the show the last few nights.
That's fine, David. I don't want to hear Eleanor's notes. Okay?
Well, who's Eleanor?
Never mind.
What are you talking to the guest like that for?
Get out of here. Call me up later, man, okay, when I got enough patience to deal with you. All right, Dr. Tarner, what is a lunar eclipse?
All right, Phil. Well, a lunar eclipse is when the moon, as you very adequately said, the moon is, it's at night. So the moon's out at night, and it has to be at night. If the moon is out in the moon isn't out in the daytime, so you would never see the moon in the daytime. So the moon at night turns red. Now, if you look at this, and you can look right at it, it won't hurt your eyes.
And no, I understand that, but why does it turn red?
Can I finish? Jesus.
Sorry.
The moon turns red. And it doesn't hurt your eyes, and it's very interesting to look at. Now, there had been a number of them.
What causes it to turn red?
Well, now, I can hear the music, so you're doing a break, is that it?
Yeah, hold on.
Well, I didn't...
What?
You're letting me down again. You're letting me down again, bud.
But I don't.
Would you get these guests in? Get them ready to answer some questions. The guy made up half that stuff he was saying to me. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's my point.
And the moon turns red, and it looks really good.
The first time ever I saw your...
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I can't see your face in my mind.
Get out of here with that face. What did I tell you guys?
I can't.
Get out of here with the face stuff. Yeah, that ain't funny, man, okay?
Dad, just tell him what kind of song we got.
The only song we found was Put on a Happy Face. Mr. Hall said can't use it.
You ain't using any face songs. Put on a happy face. I want you guys to start. You know, not everything is occasion for a laugh. Do you understand? In the world of comedy and satire, not everything has to be played for a laugh because the audience will not forgive you. The audience will say, Phil, you know, we like you, but you went over the line there.
What are you talking about?
Something that you can't understand, obviously. Anyway, welcome back to the show, the world famous Phil Hendry.
Sorry.
The world famous Phil, I'm going to take my headphones off. I can't take listening to all this. The peripheral stuff is driving me nuts, okay? So I'm just taking off the headphone.
You ain't going to be able to hear nothing.
You guys just cue me when I have to hear something. You understand?
All right.
Just let my head breathe a little. Those headphones are hot, man. All right. USDA warns the J&J unit about tampon complaints. Apparently, the U.S.
Administration
has been talking about the... What's that?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall is on the line? Okay. Let's get David Hall. David, we were just talking to you, huh?
Turn the music off!
What's that?
Turn the music down!
Is there music? Let me get my... Get the music! What are you guys trying to pull, anyway?
God, I'm driving down the street, I'm listening to... It's blasting me right out of the car! Eleanor just made a note of it. She said...
Yeah, thanks. Get out of here. What are you guys trying to pull?
Just a little joke.
I guess I gotta wear my headphones.
Yeah, every professional broadcaster to never take its headphones off. That ought to teach you a lesson. Why, just the other day... Ow!
Yeah, did that teach you a lesson?
Yeah.
As I was saying, USDA, the United States Food... What's the F stand for?
Food.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration warns J&J unit about tampon complaints. All right, so in Washington, let me get my glasses here. The U.S. drug regulators chided a Johnson & Johnson unit for not reporting or investigating customer complaints about OB tampons or personal lubricants similar to KY jelly. Watch it, bud, okay? Just be grow up.
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, you did. You're all...
But it's kind of funny.
Just grow up. The Food and Drug Administration said the unit McNeil PPC Incorporated did not properly follow up on complaints that included toxic shock syndrome. That ain't funny, man. That's a disease that kills people. You understand that?
Yeah.
Toxic shock syndrome from using the tampon, according to a warning label posted on the FDA's website on Tuesday. The company also did not investigate complaints about the personal lubricant KY Liquibeads, vaginal moisturizer. All right. I guess they had complaints about these products, and which in fact it never got permission to sell. So what happened was is this. Johnson & Johnson never got permission to sell a new product, KY Liquibeads Vaginal Moisturizer. They never got permission to sell that. And that ain't too cool, baby. You got to get the FDA. You got to get their permission to sell stuff. See?
What do you got to get a permission for?
Why do you have to get permission? You want to know why you have to get permission? It's time for another Phil Hendry history lesson. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring the music up. Why do you have to get permission? Because at one time, Bud, there were people selling all kinds of crap, claiming all kinds of stuff.
Well, like what? I mean, this is a company, and they got the right to sell, you know, free enterprise.
Oh, free enterprise. Well, there's that word again. I believe in free enterprise, Bud. There's no question free enterprise is important. But here's where we get into that very uncomfortable area called, well, necessary government intrusion. Or maybe it isn't necessary. Maybe you, Bud, and you, Robert, and a lot of folks out there would like to say, well, you know what, Phil, I'll take my chances. I'll go ahead and go to a doctor who believes that putting a goat thyroid into my body will make me younger and more spry and more sexually active.
Are you saying somebody did that?
Oh, somebody? How about a whole nation of quacks? See, back in the day, there was a man, and I wish I had his name because he's a hero. He's a hero. He worked for the American Medical Association. He was a doctor, and he was also in charge of their that part of the American Medical Association that kept track of medical practitioners that were harming people. Now, there were no laws against a lot of what was going on. So the only thing that stood between the consumer and these quacks, believe it or not, was the American Medical Association. Today, the AMA is viewed as big, a huge, corrupt lobbying influence on American life, this, that, and so on and so forth. But there was a time when, you know, and I still think the time is with us, where the AMA has done great work. There was nothing standing between the American people and quacks who would say, hey, we'll cut you open, as they did, as we're now finding out, Adolf Hitler had this process done. These are some medical records that have just been discovered. But it wasn't just done to Hitler. It was done by millions of men all over the world. There was a time where medical practitioners believed transplanting a certain organ from a certain animal into a man would help improve his sexual vigor, his youthfulness, etc. Goat glands, bull testicles.
You're kidding!
I'm not kidding. Now, in a lot of cases, transplanting a goat gland or a bull testicle into a guy, really, it didn't help. There was absolutely no scientific evidence whatsoever. But it wasn't hurting him. What, 9 times out of 10 hurt the guy?
Yeah, you put a goat gland in, not going to hurt you.
Well, if it's sterile, you know, it really is just kind of a dead piece of tissue. It's not doing anything. If it's not infecting the body of the individual that it's in. But what happened many cases, the surgery was done in a less than sterile environment. Many times a fever would develop because some kind of an infection invaded the body. And you had guys that were, some men were killed. I mean, they had fatalities. And these guys, these quacks, they just pull up stakes and move to another town, and nobody knew what happened to them. This was going on in America all the time. Did you ever see that movie the other day? We were looking at that thing, Wizard of Oz. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the guy that Dorothy meets? What's the guy's name?
Oh, yeah, the guy was selling like an elixir. That's the wizard.
Well, it wasn't the wizard, but I mean, in real life, it was that doctor.
Yeah.
He's going down the road selling some elixir, right? Well, he used to do that in those days. Back in the old days, guys would ride from town to town. Hey, here it is, baby. This is going to get rid of measles. It'll get rid of pimples. It'll grow your hair back. You can also use it to polish your shoes. You can also feed your cat this stuff. I mean, they made all kinds of claims, and it was nothing more than alcohol and maybe some food coloring. And they sold this stuff. They collected all kinds of money, and they split, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times they lynched those guys, too.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, probably. So that's why they got the FDA. So finally what happened, this one doctor that was doing the goat gland stuff, I told you about this guy, he moved to Mexico so he could get away from the federal interference. And his clinic was in Mexico, but he also needed a way to advertise. So he started buying radio stations, and he bought one radio station across the border from El Paso in Juarez, and it had a massive stick and a massive coverage of, you know, God knows what, the entire North American continent. And that radio station eventually became XERF, which is the one that Wolfman Jack started on.
What?
Forget it, okay?
What about Wolfman Jack?
I forgot you guys don't know who he is. He was an early disc jockey. You know that song, Heard It on the X by ZZ Top?
Uh-uh.
Anyway, ZZ Top did a song, Heard It on the X. They're talking about, if you listen to that song, they lay out the whole history of the X from the quack doctor that owned it and all of the remedies that he would advertise on the airwaves. And he also used the opportunity to vent against the U.S. government, vent against the federal government. Why aren't they letting me do what I want to do? And, you know, sure.
That guy kill people?
Yeah, he eventually did kill somebody. I'm sorry, I read a whole book about the guy. I can't remember his name, but it's a hell of a good book. And one of these days, I'll give you the title of it, but I can't do it right now.
You always promise some people you're going to give them a name, and they don't never know about it.
You know what, man? I can't remember it right now. I'm sorry. I know where it is in the house, back at the house. I can get it, but I can't remember it. Anyway, that answer your question?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if you got a guy putting a bull ball, or what is it, a ball bull?
A bull testicle.
Yeah, well, that's a ball. It's not a ball bull. It's not a ball bull. It's a bull. It's a ball of a bull.
What?
I said, you didn't say it's a ball bull.
I didn't say it's a, what is he saying?
You didn't say it's a ball bull.
A bald bull?
Yeah.
I said bull testicle. I didn't say anything like that. You clowns are the ones that are butchering it left and right.
But talk about ball, not a ball bull, it's a bull ball.
Don't even say bull ball. Just say bull testicle and we're going to be fine. How about that? Is that okay?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not as colorful.
Oh, well. And the other thing is we can't waste 5 minutes going back and forth about bald bulls, bull ball, ball ball. God.
You got to take care of yourself, man. You're out of wind.
Get out of here. In any event, folks, as I was saying, so that was the problem with that. And the FDA said, no, you can't sell this lubricant KY Liquibead crap. And they went ahead and sold it anyway. J&J has recalled hundreds of millions of bottles and packages of its over-the-counter medicines in the past few years, such as the painkillers Tylenol and Motrin, due to quality lapses at its factories. Man, and I love Motrin, too.
That's for chicks.
I don't care. What do you mean it's for chicks?
Only chicks take Motrin.
Well, guess what? This kid here takes it, man. It's a hell of a painkiller.
Yeah, but don't that's going to give you female.
Yeah, won't you grow breasts?
No, I mean, not grow breasts.
Are you crazy or something? You're telling me I take Motrin? No, you idiot. It's not a hormone. It's a painkiller. The FDA said McDeal PPC never told regulators it planned to sell the KY Liquibeads and made substantial changes to the lubricant compared with previous similar products without getting permission to do so. The company received 227 complaints about the product from the end of June 2010 until December 2011, including the fact the lubricant did not dissolve or had uncharacteristic consistency.
What's that mean?
It's like when you put it on your body, it was weird. Like maybe it was, part of it was absorbable and the other part was more like, who knows, too thick to absorb. The agency said J&J, Johnson & Johnson, must respond within 15 business days about how it will address the issues, a risk facing seizure of its products, or a fine. J&J spokeswoman Jody Wiederman said McNeil PPC takes the FDA's concerns seriously, will do whatever is necessary. You guys should stay up on this news. Everybody should stay up on this news. I bet you guys go to the store and you buy Johnson & Johnson products, and you aren't aware of half of these things that are happening from day to day. This is under-the-radar stuff. The fact that Johnson & Johnson gets its stuff recalled by the FDA, it sounds to me, on a quasi-regular, 227 complaints about this product, and they have had, it says here, regular seizures of products. Johnson & Johnson. The famous Johnson & Johnson. You know, the baby shampoo Johnson & Johnson.
The Q-tips.
Yeah, they make the Q-tips. So you got to stay up on this stuff. Okay? You know, there are names that we trust, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. Not every company can stay top of the line for as long as some of these companies do. Johnson & Johnson's probably one of the most trusted names in toiletries, in over-the-counter medicines, in topical treatments, et cetera, in health, in, you know, whatever health needs that we have that a doctor can't treat, Johnson & Johnson's the name, right? And we all go to the store, we go, there's the Johnson & Johnson, I'll get that. Well, guess what, man? while we're standing there like a bunch of, you know, stumble bums, as my father would say, they're getting their stuff recalled.
You don't think they get stuff to kill you?
No, they haven't got anything that's going to kill you. It's quality, man. That's all I'm talking about. Quality, okay, baby? Either you got the quality. All right, we got to take a break. We're way over our limit here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, our final segment of the show coming up. Don't forget, tomorrow it's another episode of the free Phil Henry podcast. Hit the link on our homepage at philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, a news and information hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, and we're online, and we do a live video cast every night at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, baby, because am where it am at. Dig it?
Yeah.
Now, one in five admit to urinating in pools, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the big news about that?
I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I'm up to that.
So what? So we pee in the pool. Big deal. No, I'm kidding. One in five admit to urinating in pools. It's a disgusting habit. If you do it, you're no better than a three-year-old, so stop, okay? Because I'm going to be in that water, and I'm going to be swimming around in your pee, and you think that's funny? You think it's funny? Do you, bud?
Yeah, frankly, I do. Yeah.
Well, I probably would too, but God. I'm just going to go into the water and stand there and urinate in a pool. Anyway, warm weather may be tempting you into the public pool to cool off. That's why a lot of people, I wouldn't go to a public pool, man, if it was 150 degrees out, man, and I needed to cool off or die. I would not go into a public pool.
So you're saying, man, if you're going to die from heat prostrations, or you would or go into a pee pool, you wouldn't do it?
No, I wouldn't.
I'd go into a urine pool.
I would too, man.
Yeah, are you going to die?
I'm obviously being a little, you know, engaging in a tad a bit of hyperbole, but I will tell you, it would have to be something life-threatening like that.
What about a drink of it?
Oh, will you get out of here with the drink of it?
I would. If I was going to die of drowning, or not drowning, if I'd going to die, would I not have no water? I'd probably take a sip of the pee.
Man, I wouldn't do that. What a freak.
Now you're saying I got a sex problem.
Oh, shut up, will you? You must be some kind of... For you guys to sit around and think this stuff up, man. If I was dying of thirst, yeah, I probably would.
Oh, wow, man, you drink pee?
Think about it, man. If you do not have... If you are unable... And I don't even know. It's probably not even safe. It's probably going to kill you, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't even be able to keep it down.
Maybe. But if you are dying... Or losing your mind, that's what happens when you don't drink water. You don't just die. You go mad. You see? See what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean you go nuts. I mean you start to lose your mind. That's what happened to those poor men, that SS Indianapolis thing we were watching on the TV. Those guys that got sunk by the Japanese freighter, you know? Or not the Japanese submarine.
Yeah, that's when the sharks attack.
Exactly. Those guys, the worst thing that happened to those guys, the sharks were bad. But when the sharks finally, they got a handle on the shark situation, because the sharks are going to come around and go, wait a second, we don't eat humans, and pretty soon they split. I mean, they've killed a lot of guys, but the thing that these guys had to deal with was they had no water. And they were losing their mind. There were guys there watching their friends doing insane things. I read the book on the Indianapolis. I read the survivors' accounts. One guy remembers one of his friends saying, there's an island over there, and I'm going to swim for it.
What was it?
No, there was no island. There was no island. But the guy was saying to his friend, he said, I think there's an island over there. And his friend's like, so what if there is, man? I mean, you know, maybe I can't see it. Maybe it's fogged in. He said, well, I'm going to swim for it. And the guy, this guy had been in the water without, he'd been in the sea without water now for days. And this guy remembers saying, I don't think you're going to be able to swim for any island, man. It's got to be miles and miles. It's got to be hundreds of miles away. I don't see it. He says, no. Don't worry, man. I'm going to go get help. And that dude took off, and that's the last they saw of him.
Why didn't he stop him?
What's he going to do, man?
Yeah, what's he going to do?
What's he going to do? Is he going to go run out? Hey, man.
Like, you're not going to run.
Well, what's he going to do, bud? Hey, don't go there. There's no way. That dude would fight him, probably. There's another story from the Indianapolis. These are all very sad stories, bud.
I know.
There's another story from the Indianapolis where there were three guys lined up in a row in the water. And I don't know, one of the officers came. I said, what are you guys doing? And the guy in the front said, there's a bed down there, and we can, and there's cold water, and we're waiting to take our turn. And this dude watched these guys one at a time dive under the water, and that's the last he saw them.
Man, that's a bummer, man.
It is. And now I hear the end of the show music, and so don't we have anything funny to say? Anything at all?
What about the vaginal liquid beads?
Get out of here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. That was funny, though. The world famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, make sure that you visit us online at philhendryshow.com. That is philhendryshow.com, baby. We got a podcast coming out tomorrow. Check the link on our homepage. It's all good. It's all there. And don't forget to get your backstage pass. Oh, visit our souvenir shop as well, guys. You know, we have a shop with the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, the ball caps, the T-shirts, the shot glasses, which, by the way, I think we're going to be giving away a shot glass on the podcast, and much, much more at philhendryshow.com. Till tomorrow night, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.